Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsor for our program, and that's GrowMark, locally owned, globally strong at GrowMark.com. This week's program is coming to you from San Antonio, where I've been attending the Bayer Crop Science Ag Issues Forum, just concluded. One of the many agricultural media attending here with me is Ken Rogers. And Ken, you've got a new venture. We want to learn more about what you're doing, but let's first of all start with you telling us a little bit about yourself and your background, and then we'll talk about what you're doing today.
Well, Chuck, it's always an honor, a true honor, to be on the golden Zimcom microphone. That's indeed an honor. It does exist, people. My background is, you know, I'm a farm kid, farm and ranch. Grew up in north central Kansas, studied ag communications, have worked at some great radio stations in the Midwest for most of my career. I actually farmed for a while as well after post-college, and then the last couple of years I was working as an ag representative for Nebraska Congressman Adrian Smith in the district. Thought maybe a change. I've always been interested in politics, but the burning desire and some family issues kind of brought me back to be one of those entrepreneurs, if you will, and to get back into agriculture communications via the web and via some of the new media tools.
Well, I can attest that they work pretty well, much to some people's chagrin at times, but everybody's learning to adapt these days. Well, let's talk about what you're doing now. I think Authentic Ag is the name of the company.
Authentic Ag is the name of the company. It's pretty simple. I think one of the things we were looking at in trying to define a name, there's a lot of folks out there that want to speak for agriculture. But we believe that having that background, not only working as a farm broadcaster, but also as a working farmer and rancher, having to make sure, you know, you're out there in the middle of the night to pull that calf, or you're making sure that those hogs have water, or you're praying that that dark cloud is not hail on your wheat crop. We bring an authenticity. And so if we can help that conversation, even bringing others along to make sure that authentic story is coming out. And one of the first projects we're doing is what we launched the 1st of February. Which is called AgView.net.
Now, when you talk about that background, I like to tell people, yeah, I've been involved in agriculture my whole life up till now because I eat.
Yeah,
I don't farm per se, though.
Right.
But people just are, I think today, very hungry to know where their food comes from. And we've heard a lot about that here at this Ag Issues Forum. So it's great what you're doing. Tell us a bit more in details about the, you know, what kinds of media content are you creating?
Well, what we're doing right now is we're working with a lot of other partners and maybe looking at a new way of viewing ag information, and with maybe some graphics or pictures that they're not typically have seen in the past, very static or very thing. So we're trying, as you know, as you look at this new media, you have to be not only quick, but you also have to be very much on target. I mean, you can't just kind of make things up. You have to bring the facts. And so we've had a lot of great partners that are helping feed us information. We're really in that process now of creating our own, and what that is not only talking directly to farmers, but focusing in on those 40 and under farmers, because research shows that they're not finding the same traditional channels. No offense to our friends in print media, but you know, I've been to a lot of farms where in the summertime those magazines pile up. And I always kind of joke, you know, they do, and then in the wintertime they're used to keep the house warm because sometimes it becomes old news. And what we're finding, Chuck, is, you know, that this next generation of any involvement in agriculture wants their news now. If it's tomorrow, well, you know, it's gone. It's a 24-hour news cycle. We've gotten that way in ag media as well. And so our idea is, you know, we're not out to set the world on fire. We're not out to say we are the ultimate voice of agriculture. Our focus is on that cattle belt, that corn belt, and trying to make sure that the right information comes out, and using some of the old style as somewhat being a gatekeeper. Just because it's out there, is it really relevant news to the farmer? So I put my farmer hat on and go, okay, if I'm a farmer or a cattleman, is that really, am I going to take the time to read it as a farmer? And if I'm not, I doubt if others will. Now, if other people want to put, you know, if other people want to be a clearinghouse for everything, good for them. I hope they have success. But one of the things we're doing with that is we're doing a lot of interviews and podcasts. One thing I'm realizing, Chuck, is a podcast doesn't have to be an hour long. It can be 3 minutes. It can be 10 minutes, depending on either how much the other person wants to talk and really how informative or how entertaining or educational it is. It's amazing.
Well, I one of the things I also like about it is it doesn't have to be broadcast at this exact instant and be, like you said, fill this exact hole in the schedule.
Well, and I think, Chuck, you're exactly right. That's one of the things as we were looking at this company and where is a niche to fill is I think today's agriculture person is not so accustomed to appointment radio. And believe me, I grew up, I started at 15 in radio as a DJ and reading news and other things. And, you know, things used to stop when the markets were on, when Paul Harvey was on, or we knew when the news and the funeral announcements were going to be on, everything stopped. People don't want that anymore. So what we're trying to do at agview.net is to have those information pods, have that other news available on the smartphone, available whenever they want it. So if they miss that early morning farm news, they're not out of the loop. And what we're also finding with markets, and we're going to start in the near future, is talking more about why the markets are doing. The quotes are available. Everybody has a free app for quotes anymore. And if you're really involved in that, you're going to pay extra to have that instant quote, and that's fine. But you may want somebody else's eyes as an analyst to know why they're doing what they're doing. We have a lot of great analysts out there that know about what's going on in Brazil, what's going on in China, what's going on in one part of the Corn Belt. But it's always good to bring others in and to bring that shorter version, if you will. That's the other thing, Chuck, that we're finding is some of the things is we're going to be working with stations maybe that are non-traditional type ag stations. But we realize, like this next generation, you and I probably listen to rock and roll music. But if we want information, we may listen to a traditional ag station. And I'm not taking anything away from that. But you know, hopefully with some of our contacts and connections, we're going to be able to make some of those contacts with those radio stations that, okay, we'll offer you a two-minute program in a commercial spot break or somewhere so that, in a sense, the music doesn't stop, but we're getting that message. And so we're working with other commercial companies to say, you want that message to hit a different demographic? Well, we will be the ones to help you. And that's still a question that has not been answered yet, but that's one that every day we get up early in the morning till late at night trying to find that answer.
Well, you, I think, just went to where I was going to ask next, and that's a question I get asked a lot is, so what's your revenue model? I mean, you know, we understand traditional broadcasts, you're selling ads. Do you do that, Chuck? I mean, you're on the web, and so how do you answer that?
Well, it, of course, that's the second question. The first one is, why are you doing this? The second one is, don't you need some sort of revenue? And I say yes. Our revenue model is set up, and honestly, right now we're just about ready to celebrate our first month. And so far, Google Analytics has told us we have a lot of people visiting, and we don't necessarily talk technical talk, but it's worth, you know, honestly, an ad on agview.net is worth quite a bit of money in the internet world. What we're going to be doing is we'll have it set up to where it's internet ads, and based on impressions and that's what the charge is. So we need a lot of them, but also we'll be doing some traditional things. And if there's a situation where, you know, if it's a paid placement or something, that might happen as well. I mean, again, we're in this deal of you know, you can make this thing work by whatever means necessary. I think, you know, that's a bad answer. But as you know, when you look at this new media, it's difficult to have that silver bullet. There's no, you know, as I try to put a business plan together and do revenue projections, it's impossible.
So now with what you're doing, you know, how do you fit into, say, an organization like National Association of Farm Broadcasting or the American Agricultural Editors Association or the Livestock Publications Council?
Yes. Well, I think the answer is I am trying to figure that out. I think there's a place in all that, and I'm in the process of determining what's going to be best for me to be involved in. Obviously, from farm broadcasting, you know, that's what I know, that's where I relate to. But I think there's going to be a place for all that, also for the National Ag Marketing, because it all kind of is in there together. So I think the role is to just do a good job. And I know that may be a flippant answer, but it's simply a situation is we're out there every day. We've got to go out there, and I say we because it's me, but you know, I have a lot of great support staff, but it's out there. It's hustling. It's you're there at meetings where all the traditional people are. You try to find those other niches that somebody else isn't getting. Like at this conference, I talked to Frank Cesno. People say, well, he's an old broadcaster. Why are we going to talk to him? Well, he's a familiar name, and he's somebody that a lot of people will listen to. He's now in academics. But ask him, why is he involved in helping tell the story of food, which in a sense is the story of agriculture? And there's somebody that's already got a built-in audience. That he speaks as some sort of authority, whether we in traditional ag media, traditional agriculture like it, it is. And so if we can use them to help tell the story, it's because, again, the bottom line in this line of work is whatever it takes to get listeners or viewers or whatever, that's what we have to do.
So I'm going to not assume that you are in doing this with, you said, agview.net. You're also very involved or having that involved with your social media channels too.
Absolutely. Right now we're doing Twitter and Facebook, and still trying to figure out exactly what that volume should be. You know, we know we don't want to go too far, but want to make sure that we're there in play. And so we're also looking at, in the near future, within the next few weeks, probably a YouTube video channel, some of the other ones. But when we get to that critical mass, when we start adding people, that's when we'll probably start that. But right now, the two most popular are Facebook and Twitter, and so that's what we're doing. And again, those are different channels as well. We have a lot out there that use LinkedIn as well. That's another one personally I use. And so when you put all those together, to use one blast, they kind of complement each other, but in the big picture, they really don't. It's three different ways because you have three different audiences.
Yes, and so what if there's a little overlap in there, is what I say. I mean, that was the first thing I did was look at my website, which is a blog, and use that as the hub, and I just see those as spokes, right, you know, that come out from that wheel and are each, like you said, we have so many people that we touch. We heard the word impressions, right, today. We generate so many impressions that are not coming from our website.
Right.
And it's amazing what those numbers can be. We heard here just in the last couple, a day and a half, well, about 24 hours, 5 million impressions this group,
right,
created through whatever statistic service they were using.
It is, and I think that's the thing about social media is we're all trying to grasp in the world of agriculture communications, how do we do that? And one of the things I guess I didn't talk about is everything is to generate people back to that website, again, because as far as the economic model, you need to have that, and I'm not going to get into the technical side of that, but that's very important. But so that's where it all happens. And but one thing I have realized, Chuck, as this thing continues to grow and I get more followers or get more people liking things on Facebook, people I've never heard of, and there are people involved in agriculture or in some sort of business around the country, which is great, because again, you're making that connection, and maybe there's something they're interested in based on the cattle or the corn or whatever else we're covering that they want to know what's going on. It's tremendous.
Just like NSA, they just want to know what's going on.
Well, they might, and I welcome them. You know, speaking of that, Chuck, I know this is a podcast, but I don't want to go too long. In between different shifts here, starting this business, we decided to go through the exchange for health insurance. As we were going through this, you would be surprised what come up. They knew what car I'd last bought. They knew what vehicles. They knew where we all went to college. All this stuff to verify. I'm going, I did not share that with anybody. So it is a very interesting thing of what they know and what they don't know. And so there are some concerns in getting and being a part of this new wave. Well, it's not a new wave per se. It's been a long way for a long time, but you know, being involved in this information business, it's amazing what's out there and that data and what it all entails. You know, agriculture, that's a big discussion now of who owns the data in those fields. Well, who's going to own the data from you and I in this social media and in this electronic world, and what does that mean? Yeah. Will one of the big agribusiness companies come to you or me and say, can we have your metadata and determine who? Because, I mean, honestly, Chuck, I believe this thing is probably going to come down to where there's going to be partnerships in this new media with agribusiness companies to identify the top 20, 50 farmers in each county, because that's where it's going to be. It's going to be that narrow channeling, and that's why I hope when we launched at the right time to be on that cutting edge or on that front wave, that we can help lead that and work as an independent voice with those other companies.
Well, as some people may hear, they're tearing the room down around us as we speak, so we probably better close
not
up here.
Not gnashing teeth or anything.
No. Well, anyway, that is Ken Rogers with Authentic Ag, and you can find them at agview.net. Encourage you to go there. And here from San Antonio, that's our Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.